realized that is that a lot of people, including myself, we have the ganas, like we have the desire to do something. We have a life-altering goal. But the part that's missing is the go piece, which in psychology, it would be like behavioral activation is what we call it. Like you start to do something and then one small action leads to another action. So the coaching is about harnessing your ganas. Like, what is this life-altering goal that you're working on? Maybe you're starting a business. Maybe you want to get into college. Maybe you want to finish a graduate degree. But you're kind of stuck. So then I go in and I help you. I help people get unstuck so that they can go and reach those goals. But I love the word ganas because we use it in everything. We, like in our culture, it's about échale ganas, like keep going.
Yes.
Or the best one that I heard, you know, when I was finishing graduate school was like, oh, I won't have to tell you ganas, like échale ganas, because I know you're already doing it. And that was really validating because it's like, yeah, like I'm working hard. And thank you for validating that.
Hey, everybody, you just listened to a bit of my conversation with Dr. Tilly, an amazing coach and psychologist. Welcome to another episode of Fence Show. My name is Diana Lopez. I'm your host, and I created this podcast, Fence Show, which stands for Female Entrepreneurs. I hope that through this platform, you get inspired by these ladies and mostly take action. Thank you again for tuning in. Now, let's start with the show. Hello, thank you for joining me today. We have a very special guest today, Dr. Tilly. Dr. Tilly, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's a pleasure. You know, we've met in person in San Diego during like various networking events, and this is our first interview, thank the Lord. And yeah, well, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your project, Ganas and Go, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So I'm Dr. Araceli Lopez Arenas, and I'm trained as a psychologist. So I have a doctorate in counseling psychology and a master's in public health. And my road has been a little bit bumpy, and that led me to go into the coaching sphere. And through some of the adversities that I faced, which I'll be talking about, is what gave rise to my coaching business called Ganas and Go. And my latest project is called the Mindful ECCC Licensing Journey. And this is to help soon-to-be psychologists get licensed in their states as psychologists.
Okay, that's wonderful. And when you say, could you explain a little bit more about ECCC, you said?
Yeah, so it's the examination for, it's kind of like the bar exam, you know, or the medical exam that, you know, to be a medical doctor. So this is the exam that is a national exam used for individuals that have finished a career in psychology. And this passing this exam along with other licensing requirements allows us to legally call ourselves psychologists and to serve within our states.
Yes, that's amazing. And what did, as I recall, this is your group membership program. That's correct, right? This is your latest offering.
Yes.
Wonderful. And this is all in under Ganas and Go. And can you tell us more about what Ganas and Go is? And let's start with the name, which I love.
Obviously. Sure. So Ganas in Spanish. So I'm Mexican American and I grew up here in San Diego, and I grew up very like culturally Mexican. And so in our culture, and I think this is also Latin America, but ganas is this thing called like desire. Like you have a goal and you pursue it despite any adversity. So it encompasses like resilience, grit, persistence. And it was really popularized by Edward James Olmos in his movie Stand and Deliver. And that's the movie where he coached, or he was a school teacher, and he got his students, his high school students, to take the examination for getting into college. And so his thing was like, you know, if you don't have the ganas, like, I will give it to you, like, I will help you. And so what I realized that is that a lot of people, including myself, we have the ganas, like we have the desire to do something. We have a life-altering goal. But the part that's missing is the go piece, which in psychology, it would be like behavioral activation is what we call it. Like you start to do something and then one small action leads to another action. So the coaching is about harnessing your ganas. Like, what is this life-altering goal that you're working on? Maybe you're starting a business. Maybe you want to get into college. Maybe you want to finish a graduate degree. But you're kind of stuck. So then I go in and I help you. I help people get unstuck so that they can go and reach those goals. But I love the word ganas because we use it in everything. We like in our culture, it's about échale ganas, like keep going.
Yes.
Or the best one that I heard, you know, when I was finishing graduate school was like, oh, I won't have to tell you ganas, like échale ganas, because I know you're already doing it. And that was really validating because it's like, yeah, like I'm working hard. And thank you for validating that.
I love that. And yes, I mean, I'm Mexican, so I know all about ganas and go, but maybe some of our listeners don't. So it's good to give them some context.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you, ganas and go. And I love also that you do have the go up there. And I'm thrilled that, you know, you're talking about, you know, some people being unstuck. Have you ever been stuck before you launched ganas and go?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Tell us more a little bit about the journey of starting it. When was the moment when you just had that like entrepreneurial itch to just start it? You know, how did this come about?
You know, it actually came from a very low and dark period in my career. So I had studied to be a psychologist. It took me way longer than it needed to, I think. There were some mental health issues that were along with that, like dealing with depression, anxiety, and a little bit of trauma. And so my journey was a little bit longer in finishing my degree. And once I finished, then I had to accrue hours for, you know, in the state of California, you need at least 3,000 hours. So I had already accrued 1,500 on internship. Oh, I was working on more. Yes. So it's quite a journey. And I took the licensing exam and I thought everybody that took it was like, oh yeah, you just take it and you pass. And then it's kind of like you collect, like playing Monopoly, you know, you pass go and collect $200 and you're on your career to be a psychologist. And I took it in February 2018 and I didn't pass. And I was devastated. I was like, oh my gosh, because you can't practice independently without first passing this big hurdle. And as I started learning more about the test, I discovered that it's actually biased against Latinos and Black individuals. Like we don't pass the test to the same degree that our white counterparts do. And I had known that, but I couldn't substantiate it with research. And I started meeting a lot of other Latinas and African-American Black clinicians that had also failed the exam. And this was something that nobody talked about. This was like hush hush. And there was a lot of shame and guilt because we didn't want to admit that, hey, we didn't pass. And so it took about a year. At this time, it was like I was doctor, but I'm not psychologist. So when I, you know, when we met, I was kind of in that space of, you know, what do I do? So even though I had a master's in public health, when I applied for jobs, they told me I was overqualified because I had the doctorate. Yet I was underqualified because I wasn't licensed. So there were all these positions for psychologists and people are like, you're bilingual, you're bicultural, like we'd love to hire you, but come back when you have your license. So I was stuck in this unlicensed limbo. And that's not a good place to be in because you're like, I've invested so much money. I've invested so much time. I've sacrificed so much. Here's like all my training and all my degrees, but I can't do anything with it. So I was underemployed and unemployed for about 6 years almost. And it wasn't until after like March 2018, where I discovered entrepreneurship, I did a lot of personal development groups, got really connected and networked with entrepreneurs. And I was like, how can I use my skill set? You know, how can I do this to help other people? Because all I want to do is help others. And I have the clinical training to do that. And that's when I heard about, you know, coaching. And in my field, that's very stigmatized. Like, that's like not what you do. So I had to work through a lot of internal biases that I had for other fields other than my own. And finding myself being stuck, like, not, I knew I wanted to study and take the test again, but I didn't have the courage to do it again. I was really defeated. And it was in that dark moment of like, I keep talking about wanting to take this exam, yet I'm not doing it. So I was stuck. I had the ganas, but I was stuck. And so I, at the time, I was really into Shark Tank. And then the other, there's another TV show where the guy helps businesses that are struggling. And he like renamed a gene company. It's really funny how it just came. And I was sitting on the couch and I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Like, bam, like ganas and go. That's what I'm going to be working on. And so I'm really proud of the name. I love what it stands for. And it's about helping people, like high functioning, high achieving individuals, get over that hump and kind of get clarity on what's going on, because that's what I needed. And there's a quote, like, action is the foundational key to all success. And that's what it's about. It's about taking action and incorporating different psychological principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness, acceptance and commitment therapy, behavioral activation, all these like different terms that are basically evidence-based that shows that it works. And so that's what I fold into my coaching business. And so it's from this pain and suffering that I call this, it's like post-traumatic growth. And so I get to use all of myself. So that's how I discovered I was an entrepreneur. And I know this is a long-winded story, but actually, now that I'm recalling, it started previously with that, with a jewelry business. So when I mentioned...
Oh, yes, that, I remember that.
So that one's kind of, I don't know where I'm going with that. It's called Sui Generis Jewelry. Sui Generis means unique, one of a kind, a class of its own. So before I went to graduate school, I tinkered with jewelry making and I discovered that I was actually pretty good at it. So when I came back from internship, I did that in Hawaii. I couldn't afford to stay there, so I came back home to San Diego. And after getting so many rejections, like a close friend who used to supervise me, she said, hey, I sent your resume around, but they say that you're overqualified. I got so angry that I was like, F y'all. I went to school in Texas, so I adopted the y'all, the twang. And so I said, F y'all, you know, like, what can I do? Like, what is within my power? And that's when I remembered, like, oh, the jewelry, like, I can start my jewelry business, which is something that I had always dreamed about, but I never did. And so then I started working farmers markets locally. I started my own Etsy store. And actually from those sales was that I was able to finish my doctorate degree, because by then I had run out of funding.
Oh my God, really? Wow.
I did, yeah. Wow. So by the time I was done, I didn't qualify for any financial aid. You know, credit cards were maxed out. So I was having a really hard time graduating. And it was the jewelry business that helped both my mental health and also finishing the degree. And it's also what I used to start studying for the exam. So that's where I really discovered like the true entrepreneurship, and also that I was an artist. And so then it was much easier to start the coaching program from there. So,
I see. Yeah. I see. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I just wanted to interrupt you every single step of the way and say, wow, wow, wow.
Thanks.
But you were very much, you know, we're flowing in the story, but I absolutely love everything about this story. And this is a story of resilience. You know, you mm-hmm. had a very hard time and you didn't just say like, okay, now I'm doing good. Ciao. You're actually, you know, you're really helping people, you know, and that's,
yeah.
And you're helping the community. That I don't even know where to go into where to even start when it comes to your mission. Can you share with the audience a little bit more about the stats when you mentioned that, you know, the program is really biased on on the community?
Yeah, so just in general, just being a Latina, going through the college, you know, educational pipeline, it's really hard for us to graduate high school to begin with, you know, and then get into college. And then once you're into college, you have to be really set up in the right way to actually finish, because a lot of people don't finish. And then from there, you, if you, especially if you're first generation like I am, like, you don't know what to do, you know, so you rely on mentors, you rely on social capital, you find out what programs are out there. And so it's really up to you to kind of navigate the system and figure it out. And then getting into graduate school is another challenge. And then even more so than that is actually finishing. So I've met a lot of people just like me that pursued this path and didn't finish. Like, I quit, like, I almost quit so many different times all along the way, because it's something that's really challenging. I didn't. Yeah. And it was hard. I'm not going to lie. So now when people tell me, oh, I want a doctorate, it's like, well, let's talk about it. Like, I want you to be like informed, like have informed consent. Like, when we participate in research, like, what's the good thing? What's the bad thing? What do you want to get out of that? Not to discourage anybody, but to, for people to recognize, because I didn't know what it entailed. And so my journey first started because I'm really, really passionate about Latino mental health, or now, you know, Latinx mental health, and being bilingual, bicultural, and having that, that gift of like healing through psychotherapy. It's something that I always wanted to do. And so, I kind of forgot where I was going with this, because there's so many parts. But less than, in short, the research says that less than 1% of Latinas finish a doctorate degree. And we don't have the stats for number of psychologists. So that's still, like, people are still trying to figure out how many Latina psychologists, how many bilingual, bicultural. And what I recognized was that we were getting stuck all along the way, primarily in finishing, but also in getting licensed. So when we talk about mental health disparities, like, oh, we don't have enough Spanish speaking psychologists, we don't have enough bicultural, we don't have enough, you know, people of color as psychologists, it's because the system wasn't really designed for us. And so when you talk about licensing exams, these are like the SATs. You know, right now there's conversations, and I think, you know, some universities are getting rid of the exam because they recognize that the exam is not appropriate for certain groups, that it's biased. And so they're not using it anymore, but yet that's still the metric that we're using for psychologists to be licensed, which, in my personal opinion, I don't think it's fair, because all along our career, we depend on signatures, like letters of recommendation, frequent evaluations, you know, we get feedback all the time, to then be reduced to a 500 score on an exam after dedicating, you know, 5 to 10 years on the career. It just doesn't seem fair. So that's kind of where my passion for helping people pass, including myself, came from, because this is a social justice issue. Like, we don't have enough, we have mental health disparities because we don't have the clinicians to serve, because we're getting stuck in the system. And I know that, you know, right now I can't change it, right? Maybe once I'm licensed and I'm, you know, further in my career. But what I can do, the small thing that I can do, is build something that I would love to have. Like, I would love to sign up for this program, my own program, and say, sure, yes, take my money, like, help me.
Yes.
And I've piloted with a lot of friends, you know, in studying for the exam, a few of them have passed. So I failed 3 times already. And the reason why I'm sharing is because there is no shame. You know, the more that we stay silent, that's how stigma, you know, festers, that's how it continues. And so my mission is to help reduce the mental health disparities, especially for our Spanish-speaking community. And I realize, like, I can't help everybody, but what if I can help the people that can serve those individuals. Yes. So that's kind of where my passion lies.
Yes. And I love what you're doing. Absolutely. That is why it's so important that you're doing what you're doing and that it matters, you know, and I love your mission and I'm really thankful that you are, you know, not only like yourself, but like what you are doing as well. Because you know, I've read some stats before a call, you know, that's like only 1 in 10 Latinos approach a mental health professional. And there's also not even, and this is in the US. And we're like, you know, we're, I think, 18%. Yeah. 18.3% part of the population. And there's also when you try to approach somebody, you know, try to get some help. There's not even anybody that speaks Spanish, you know?
Right.
Or even somebody that like, you know, you feel that you are represented. So it's also, you know, a little bit hard for them when they seek that out. It's also hard to find one. So thank you so much because you are basically starting the butterfly effect. You know, you're helping those who can help others. And that's why I really love this. And let's go back a little bit more towards your journey about launching Ganas and Go. I thought it was very interesting when you said that you like started, you know, networking, started to like learn about entrepreneurship. And that's what like helped you more so besides doing the jewelry. Mm-hmm. That's also something that helped you like, you know, to take the leap to actually start Ganas and Go and start to change people's lives. So when you mentioned that, what exactly did you do? You know, like we want people out there that have, you know, when they just have a little problem, they like give up. But you like you learned, you got yourself out there. Did you get coaching? Did you attend events? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's been quite a journey. Again, I fell into what a lot of people, and you know, I started listening to this podcast called How I Built This. It's by NPR. I absolutely love that podcast because I felt it really parallel, you know, getting a doctorate degree. Like you have an idea, like you have a solution to a problem, or in academia, you identify something like mental health disparities for Latinos, for example. And so as entrepreneurs, we see a problem and we say, hey, I can fix this. Like I've developed a product, I've developed a membership, I've developed something that came from my brain and my passion that I want to help. But a lot of us kind of get stuck. So I don't know, maybe I'm just terca meaning like, wasabi,
what had no, I think you're resilient. Stubborn.
yes, right. Resilient, but it just comes from like, I don't like giving up. And it's this fine line of when to recognize like, okay, that's not going to go anywhere. Let me like pivot. And so what I learned from entrepreneurship is about pivoting. And remind me your question. I just blanked out because I was had so many thoughts.
You were going, I love that you were talking about pivoting. I was like, yes, let's talk about pivoting. Yeah. So like everything you did, you know, when you started going to networking events, like what actions did you take?
Yeah. So I actually did a lot of personal development. So I delved into the coaching world, but mainly it kind of started with stumbling upon Dr. Brené Brown's research. So she's a professor at a university in Houston, and she's really famous right now because she did some famous TED Talks on the power of vulnerability and listening to shame. So those are kind of the introductions to this like life transforming personal development. And then I read her book Rising Strong, and because what I wanted to know is how do people get out of the hole, like when they're going through adversity, because we often hear the stories of like, you know, I set off to this adventure and then some shit happened. But look, like I'm amazing. Look, I overcame it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's wonderful. That's great. But what did you do? How do I do what you did? How do I get out of this mud, like Brené Brown calls it? So Rising Strong, I highly recommend this book, is what helped me learn a little bit more about how I was afraid to be vulnerable. And recently I just wrote a book chapter. I was invited to contribute to a book on Latinas. Yeah. So
we need that I'm link. Excited. We need. Yes. Also, what is the name of that book?
We don't know yet. It's still under development.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I think the goal is for it to be published in December. So I wrote a book chapter on, you know, my experience, and I recognized that in graduate school, I was plagiarized, like my research was plagiarized, and that totally derailed, you know, my career, my pursuit of wanting to be a professor, which in reality, now I recognize entrepreneurship is way more exciting for yes. me. And so then, you know, I got a coach, and she was really amazing. So I also learned about managing my finances. I realized that I wasn't very financially literate, and because I didn't learn this stuff when I was growing up. So I took a course with Dave Ramsey called Financial Peace University. And so I delved into his book. So really, I was like a sponge. I absorbed like podcasts. I stumbled upon Pat Flynn. He was really pivotal. I was like, wait, you make how much money doing what? Like helping people? What? because coming from academia, you're begging for money. Like we work by grants. And so you spend hours and hours writing a grant, hoping, praying that you get the money, but you don't get it all the time because it depends on what the government wants to focus on or what the organization's mission is. And so I felt I had more power and control with entrepreneurship. So again, I started learning about finances. I started learning about being more vulnerable and more authentic. And I realized that I hadn't been because I was scared. I was scared to put myself out there because what if people steal my ideas, you know?
Oh, yes. So exactly yeah. like what you went through in with the plagiarism.
Exactly. And so, and then I stumbled upon this program that my friend had wanted me to do for like 10 years. And we got into this huge fight because I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. It's so expensive. It's called the Landmark Forum. And so in that program, that was really pivotal, along with therapy, right? Because I also had therapy by a licensed professional. And that's where I really understood what some of my blocks were. And, you know, in getting licensed, I realized like, wow, I'm actually scared because there's a lot of power in diagnosing somebody. Like when you diagnose somebody, you can help them because they can get the help that they need. Mm-hmm. Or you also have the potential to harm them, you know, if you misdiagnose. And so that was really scary. And so I realized I was talking a lot about getting licensed, but really the reality was like, I was scared, you know, what does this mean? So I did that. And then I did, I worked at UCSD in their challenge course, which is amazing, where you do a lot of team building activities. So it was a lot. Like I've done a lot of self-exploration and really just meeting people like you, like that are, you know, out there doing it, you know, another Latina.
Oh, yes. Latina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also we met through Pat Flynn in one of his mm-hmm. event, well, meetups in San Diego. And yeah, thank you, Pat. This is
yes.
Yes. Also a reason why I started my podcast because of this course. Yeah. So you invested in yourself. You know, you're saying you invested in podcasts, you invested in a coach, even though mm-hmm. it was stigmatized amongst your peers, you actually invested, and now you're a coach yourself.
I am. And you know, it's really interesting how, you know, my field works sometimes. And mind you, there, you know, with coaching, there is some, you know, stigma, and there's some individuals that, you know, probably need a little bit more training. But there's some really good coaches out there that, you know, I see the difference between what therapy is and coaching is. And I see, yes. And that's kind of why I use both names, right? So my therapist name is Araceli Lopez Arenas, while the coaching one is Dr. Chelly. So I figured, you know, it's still me, but I'm operating in two different spheres. And that's one way that I can stay ethical within my field to be able to distinguish what's coaching and what's therapy. And I love it all. It's exciting.
Yes. I mean, you're helping people in both, on both sides. So mm-hmm. I think it's just magical. And yeah, you can do it all. See, Latinas, we can do it all. Yeah, I love it. And I'm really excited that we're going to have also for anybody that, knows Spanish or wants to learn more. We are going to have another interview, but in Spanish, because mm-hmm. I have, two podcasts, and we will actually, expand upon the conversation in different topics as well. But I love everything that you're doing. And so tell us a little bit right now about all of the offerings that you have. Mm-hmm. And so first, just tell us a little bit more about just everything that you're offering in Ganas and Go, and a little bit of, what income streams do you have at the moment? Enlist 10 different, hopefully.
Yes. Well, I learned, or I heard somewhere that you should have at least 8 different income streams. So I'm working on that. So one, I do have a full-time job at a hospital where I do community assessments. And I help people get connected to services for mental health. I also work in a private practice where I do immigration hardship evaluations. So that's my clinical side. And then with Ganas and Go, some of the offerings I have is that I do have an Etsy store. So I create inspirational accessories. So I wear my Ganas and Go bracelet. So I know that every time I put it on, it's it's go time. Vamos, let's go. Mm-hmm. Because I realize in my therapy work that we often need cues to remind us of those behavior changes we want to make, kind of like where you put your, if you want to start exercising, you put your workout clothes out the night before, or you put your shoes, your running shoes by the door, it's like a cue. So I have a lot of inspirational accessories that kind of commemorate achievements, let's say a necklace or bracelet that says doctora or super chingona, or a mug that says the mindful ECPP journey, which is the other project I offer.
And yes, you also have some face masks, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah. So I have one that says I practice grapes, and it's an acronym for mental health, or mi salud es tu salud, my health is your health.
Yes.
So, I like that one. Yeah. And I also have one that has a brain that talks about mindfulness and a lotus flower. So just kind of behavioral cues and also accessories that promote mental health and inspire people. Because I'm inspired by them myself, and I have some funny ones cry and write, or cry and study, chia y estudia, chia y escribe.
One that says, no te rajes. I love it.
No te rajes. Yeah, sure. That says, don't give up, no te rajes. So the Etsy store is there, which I'm excited about. And the program that I just recently launched is the Mindful ECPP Journey, and EPPP. There's 3 P's. And so I realized that it's a mindful practice. When you're trying to achieve a goal, it's really important to practice mindfulness so that you can be aware of the thoughts, the emotions, the actions, and how your body responds when you're moving towards that goal. And so what I offer now is for licensed eligible psychologists, so people who are working towards getting licensed. And it's a group where we come together. I realized that I've been running these for over 10 years. I did them to help myself and my peers in writing our dissertations, to writing internship applications, to even entrepreneurships. I've done this with entrepreneurs where we come together and we work on our own individual projects. One person was an interior designer, another one was a realtor. I was working on my license stuff. Or building Ganas and Go. So we come together and I am a facilitator, because that's what I discovered. Also, this process is, what are my passions? What am I really good at? And I'm really good at facilitating groups, inspiring people, keeping them on track. And so the purpose of this group or this membership, it's a monthly membership. It's an open enrollment, so people can join at any time. They can also cancel at any time. So when they finish, when they pass, they can move on. But I create the safe space for us to come together and just be with each other in this process, because it really sucks to do it by yourself. So why not do it as a collective? And that's also part of the cultural value, right? Of being Latina, of, you know, collectivistic and being social. And now with COVID-19, doing it virtually, because before it was designed in person, but now virtually through Zoom.
Yes, but also you can help more people, right? Virtually.
Exactly. Yes. And nationwide, because it's not just limited to people in San Diego now. It's so I host them on Saturdays for about three hours. And that way I decided on a Saturday because then everybody can join wherever they are in terms of their time zone.
Yes, I love that. So you are a leader in the community, and I am very grateful for that.
Thank you. Oh, and I'll be starting a podcast soon as well. Where, yeah.
So I did not know that one.
Oh, really? Yes. So it's going to be called the Mindfully Triple P Journey. And this is where I'm going to be sharing stories of people that passed. And I really want to highlight the people who have faced adversities in achieving this, because we all need a little bit of inspiration to not give up.
So exactly. And you know how the world works in a very funny way, because going back to your story, you were, you know, listening to podcasts to get inspired to launch your, you know, to launch Ganas and Go, to pivot, and now you're going to start your own. So proud of you.
Yes. Thank you. And it's also like to destigmatize, you know, and talk about mental health and yeah, just to help as many people as we can, because it's, you know, how do you get out of that rut? How do you get unstuck? How do you get out of that dark place that you may be in? Is you listen to stories of other people that did it, you know? And it takes hard work. And so that's what makes you value it more, I think, at least in my opinion. It's like, you're like, yeah, like I did that, you know?
Yeah. You feel more energized, you know, than ever. Mm-hmm. When you achieve something, you just feel so just proud of yourself. I mean,
yeah. And it's about helping other people. You know, that's one of the values that I learned very early on in my college education, is about paying it forward. You know, just because you made it, don't forget about where you came from, you know, help the person behind you. So as you go up, somebody's helping you up along the way, but how many people are you helping behind you? And so that's just the personal value of mine and the foundation to what I do.
You have so many quotes. Seriously, I have to go in and like, I'm going to put this and then like the Instagrams and the grams. So this was such a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so proud of your work, everything that you're doing. How you founded your project and you made it a reality, you know, that's even better, and even better for the community. You know, there's a big mission behind it. So thank you on behalf of all Latinas and Latinos, Latinx. And
thank
you so much for everything you do for the community. Can't wait to talk about it more on the other episode in Espanol.
Gracias. And thank you so much again for the invitation. This is, and for caring about this story. You know, I think that's also really important.
What, girl? I'm sending you a virtual hug. So, oh my God, I almost forgot. So before we go, just share your links, like how can people find you? Mm-hmm. And we'll call it a day.
Sure. So my website is called Ganas, G-A-N-A-S, and Go. And I use the same handle for Facebook and Instagram. So I haven't posted in a little bit, you know, there were some life events happening and then COVID, but I'll start resuming that. And then for the licensure program, the membership, it's mindfulepppjourney.com. So mindfulepppjourney.com. And so, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Perfect. And yeah, so again, that is ganasandgo.com. And I will make sure to put this in the show notes and all the other links that we talked about.
Awesome.
And the book recommendations, of course, as well.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Telly. This was amazing. And I really, really appreciate you.
Gracias. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for staying until the end of the show. And if you loved this episode, you can share your love by sharing the episode with your friends through a simple link right there where you, wherever you are listening, if it's on Spotify or iTunes. And you can also show the love if you leave a review for the show. It's going to go such a long way. This way, people can find us more easily and they can learn about how much you love the show. So thank you so much. I'm Diana Lopez, and I hope you have a blessed day.